You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Ah, some of you are trying to hum it, whistle it. I heard you. Yeah. That means you're old if you know the tune, I think. Or you're mature. Is that what we say? Mature vintage is a good way to say that these days. Anyway, glad that you're here. We continue our series, A Summer in Mayberry. We're picking out some different pieces of the show, the Andy Griffith Show, and talking about how they apply to life and how we can live that out in our daily lives. Last week, we talked about lying, and I hope you learned a little bit about that. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's probably not as prevalent called gossip. We don't do a whole lot of that. But anyway, the Andy Griffith Show, it's got Andy, who's the sheriff in town, and he's got a little boy named Opie, and his aunt Bee comes and helps him raise. We don't know why he's single, but he is. And then the town barber is named Floyd, and there's all kinds of good things that happen in the barber shop, as you can understand. And then there's two guys, Gomer and Goober, who are cousins that at different times manage the gas station in town. And Gomer and Goober, that kind of tells you a little bit about who they are. They're named appropriately. And then my favorite character that I wish I could play is Otis. He's the town drunk. He does all kinds of fun things. And then maybe the next guy that I'd love to play is Ernest T. Bass. And Ernest T. Bass is loves ladies and anything to get attention from ladies. And so he does all kinds of crazy things from doing that. But again, last week we talked about lying. Today is gossip. And we're in a culture that we are overly saturated with gossip. And now that we have this thing called artificial intelligence, it is generating all kinds of gossip. As a matter of fact, there's a thing called AI Feral. And it's this idea where you can drop nuggets into AI and create gossip, and it can influence politicians, it can influence policies, it can influence small towns, because things get seeded very quickly, and all of a sudden they go, and you can't catch up to correct the half-truths or the lies or the gossip. And so now we live in an age of deep fakes, and we have a struggle sometimes knowing what the truth is from reality, because gossip has started those things. One of the most recent things that researchers have told us is that there's now a sense of gossip within the culture, even more within the workplace than ever before. They even call it what they call a termite infestation. And so if you understand what a termite infestation is that you think you live in a house and everything's okay, but underneath the structure is being eaten away so that one day that the house will crumble. And so termite infestation through gossip within a workplace is that there is gossip behind the scenes, and it's creating a decay of the household in the workplace so that people stop working together because they don't know who they can trust, because they don't know who's telling lies and who's talking behind their back. And so it creates a toxic culture within the workplace, and that's how much gossip has inundated our culture and our workplace. We even saw in March of 26 that social media companies were beginning to be held liable for gossip and the harmful content that was being spread. And one of the major things that's happened in social media companies like Facebook and all those different things, and I would say that it's age regardless, but it's definitely for those that trend younger than 30, is this idea of bullying. And so that people will say things. They would say things about others that they wouldn't say to their face. And I know adults, you would never do that on Facebook, but every once in a while that happens, right? Gossip has also become a low-stakes form of entertainment, that we have people that are bored, or they're insecure, and because of their boredom and their insecurity, they look to find the mistakes in other people. And so they begin to tear them down and to talk about them in such a way that it's low-stakes entertainment. They're providing a sense of security and amusement for themselves by tearing other people down. And even to the point where I saw just this past week that someone convinced someone of their mistake was so devastating to their life and their image that they convinced them to take their own life. To that point. And so it's definitely a huge problem within our culture. And then obviously small town gossip, whether it's live or via social media, it has a little thing. Actually, this past week, it kind of had a funny thing. It wasn't gossip, but it was kind of a funny thing. I had posted a picture on Facebook, and I hadn't posted anything in a long, long time. And it was me drinking a protein smoothie at a certain place in town where you can get coffee and stuff like that. I don't want to promote the business. They're great people. But And so I was there, and I'm there quite a bit. It's like my second office. And so within the next few days, somebody showed up at this place because they thought maybe I would be there at that time. I was like, oh my goodness, the small town gossip, even across Facebook, we'll be able to look at it. But we would never do that in a small town, right? We would never gossip. He said, she said, all the different things. And so, as a matter of fact, one of the clips this morning that we're going to be using is from season 1, episode 15. And Mayberry is a small town. And Aunt Bee and some of her lady friends are talking about a lady that they saw, actually two ladies that they saw at church the previous Sunday, and talking about that whole thing. And so it made me think about possibly could happen at, not at Cross Point, but at other churches in a small town like LaGrange.
And when Millie Parsons walked into church with that hair, I come near dropping my hymn book.
I couldn't believe it either. After being a brunette all these years.
Aunt Bee, can I have a candy bar?
No. I suppose she thinks those blonde streaks in her hair make her look younger. So our new postman will give her a second look.
Anybody who give Millie a second look would know those blonde tips came straight from a bottle. I declare, it's disgusting the way some women try to be what they aren't.
Why can't I have a candy bar?
Because you can't, Opie. Now stop interrupting elders when they're talking.
Here you are, Emma. Mm. I'll put it on your bill. It comes to $1.34. 60 cents for toothpaste, 29 cents for rubbing alcohol, 45 cents for peroxide.
I only use it for gargling. I'm one person that doesn't try to hide her age. I'm in my 40s and I admit it.
Golly, A.B., she's way younger than you are. She's in her 40s and you're already...
Opie, why don't you go over there and get yourself a candy bar?
I just didn't want the boy to hear. Speaking of people trying to hide their age, do you know the real reason Rose Blake went to Raleigh?
No, why?
I thought she went up to visit her niece.
That's her story. I happen to know she went to buy a new set of teeth.
She is the thing!
Oh, my goodness!
Never do what she
happens to be
reaching her age when you have
to. Morning, ladies. My goodness, don't you look happy. Must be cutting somebody up pretty good.
Truth hurts, maybe, huh? Wow. Gossip is rarely just sharing information, isn't it? Gossip really does cut down. It's characterized by secrecy, division, malice, and damage to reputations. Because, listen, the next time they go to church, they're going to be looking for the streaks in that woman's hair, which I think today we call them highlights, is what I'm told at my house. But I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 that we looked at last week. Now that we're in Christ, we should be different people. Our heart set, our mindset, and because we're people of the truth sets us free. Our actions and our words should line up as people of truth. And so in Colossians 3, 8, 9, prior to being in Christ, there was a whole different way of thinking, a whole different way of living. But now in Christ, we have new ways of thinking and living. And as it says in Colossians 3, 8, 9, that we should be people that are people of the truth, and that we shouldn't speak with anger, we shouldn't speak with rage, we shouldn't speak with maliciousness, we shouldn't speak with slander, and we definitely shouldn't have dirty language. And when we think of dirty language, we think of like the cuss words that maybe some of you know or you heard. But this is more about language that when you speak it, it tears down someone else and it harms everyone that's able to hear it. It's verbal vomit. And then obviously we shouldn't be lying, because a half-truth is a full lie, right? And so this morning, as we think about our language, we continue this idea of thinking about gossip. And so here's a few words from the scripture that give you a little full of meaning. That word rakiel means a talebearer or a slanderer. It's someone who goes about spreading secrets or peddling info. And so you see that in Leviticus chapter 19. It says, do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. So that's what those ladies were doing there in Mayberry. They were saying some things, they were talking about someone, and so you begin to think differently about people because of the words that you're speaking. Another word is nergon. Nergon is a whisperer or a grumbler. And so you've been there where somebody's going, psh, 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 and so as soon as you walk into the room or someone else walks into the room, the tone changes and people's eyes look up and they realize that maybe you've overheard them, even though that was whispering. And the other part of that is grumbling, is that sometimes out of our grumbling, out of a spirit of discontent, we talk about people maliciously. So this word nagurn implies a malicious rapport or secretive form of speech with the idea to sow discord. You're planting seeds of discord in such a way that you're trying to create disunity instead of unity. And one of the things that's distinctive about a Christian church is supposed to be our unity, not our disunity. And so we see this in Proverbs chapter 16. It says, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Now listen, this is true that many of you in this room, you've had people you've been friends with, and somebody said something about somebody that said something about somebody else, and all of a sudden, when a circle comes about, it creates division between the friends. And you're like, where did this even get started? How did this even come from? Where is the source of this? And it separates friends because half-truths that aren't sought out, we do this thing called assuming. Y'all know that word? Assuming. The great theologian Walter Matthau and Bad News Bears said, assuming makes something out of you, right? And why is that? Because when we assume something and we don't go to the source to find out the truth, it creates problems, not only for us, but our friendships, and it disrupts unity and creates disunity. It sows discord and ends friendship. Continues on, it says, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. And so if we quit putting the fire wood on the fire of gossip, it will stop. If you quit feeding it, it's going to stop. And so we live in a culture that we just continue to feed it. You can see people's Facebook feeds, their Instagram feeds, and they like somebody else will just kind of continue to stoke the fire. And it reminds me of Colossians 3, this idea of anger, that we allow anger to just kind of smolder. We kind of stoke it. We don't really fire to go out because we're not ready to offer forgiveness. We're not ready for this quarrel to stop. We want to keep it going for some reason. There's something in our souls that longs for this. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoal or fires light wood. We want this to keep going for some reason. It's a spirit of discontent. You're not satisfied with your own life, and so you're going to tear someone else's life down. Another word, Philoros is a tattler, which is a good word. Maybe y'all remember, don't tell, you're a tattletale. Nobody wanted to be a tattletale, but a tattler or a babbler, someone who just incessantly is talking and it's not positive talk. We know people who talk all the time, but we also know people who talk all the time and nothing that they say is very good. So it's just someone who's prone to idle foolishness and meddlesome talk. Paul talks about this as a pretty good image in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Paul is talking to the church and teaching Timothy, and he says, hey, listen, if there's a woman within your church that is a widower and she's young, please help her find another husband, because the last thing we need are a whole bunch of single women. This is Paul talking. Single women that are idle, because they can create discontent amongst themselves. And so he says, hey, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's businesses and talking about things they shouldn't. It's a pretty vivid imagery for us, isn't it? And then here's another cool word. This is actually an onomatopoeia. Y'all know what those things are? This is that deal where a word sounds like what it says. And so here, the very part of the first part of the word, make the sound is psst. Y'all heard that word before? Psst. All right. The air's leaving the tires. My wife is calling me across Super Walmart. Whatever it is, it's this psst. But whenever you say psst, you're trying to get people's attention and you're trying to draw them into something like a secret conversation. And so here the word is psthyrus. And so this onomatopoeia is used to describe someone who spreads gossip in private and secret meetings to undermine someone. So psst, come here. I've got something to share with you. So some of those words that we just talked about, I'm going to talk about them here, some different stories throughout. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, it says, their lives, this is people that are not in Christ, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior. And you think about all those different things, you think those are pretty serious things. And then the last one, you're like, gossip? Gossip is equal with murder? Yes. Because the things that we say about people that we wouldn't say to their face can harm and hurt and murder their character so that people think about them differently when they see them the next time they see them. Gossip is like a fire that you've let outside of the containment and it continues to go and it creates great harm. We see this begin in the very beginning of history. Adam and Eve, we're three chapters in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden this guy named the serpent, which we know is Satan, the great deceiver, the liar, shows up in the garden, and he begins to question the character of God. And this is one of the parts of gossip, is that we question the character of the person that we're talking about. We're questioning the character of God. We're questioning the character of the person. We're questioning the character of whoever it may be. And we're in a culture that right now, we are really good at tearing people down. We're really good about saying things about people. We've heard something and we assume that that's true. We don't get the full truth and we'll just speak it. And so here's the thing is true, is the serpent takes something. He tells the Eve a half-truth. He says the serpent was the shrewdest of all animals in the wild that the Lord God had made. And one day the serpent asked the woman, what? Did God really say that you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? This is a beginnings of a gossip. This is a malicious report questioning the character of God. That God had provided everything within the garden and said, hey, eat of everything here. Everything is for you. This is bounty. Eat to your fill except this one tree. And Satan flips it and gives them a half-truth, and they begin to question the character of God. That God gave them everything. Why wouldn't he give us this tree too? Why wouldn't God give us more? Why would God not give us more than what we want? Why is he challenging us here? And this is part of gossip, is the maliciousness of the character of the person. We're denigrating the character of the person, even if that person is God. Another wonderful story from the Old Testament is in Numbers chapter 12. It's the story of Moses and his wife and Aaron and Miriam. Now, Aaron and Miriam are married, and Moses is married to his wife, and we don't know her name right now. But in the story, what we do understand is that Moses' wife is a Cushite, and a Cushite is someone who has a very good tan. Like a really good tan, like dark, beautiful person, but dark. And so because of that, she is distinctively different than Aaron and Miriam and Moses and all the other Hebrew people. She's outside of that group. And so although Moses is married, they've been doing life together, they begin to question her character. They begin to question her character, not based upon who she is, but upon what she looks like. Maybe the old phrase of don't judge a book by its cover until you get to know them. Everyone's normal until you get to know them, right? And so here Aaron and Miriam are questioning her character, not based upon who she is, but what she looks like. And so God overhears this conversation. And so it moves them from questioning the character of God, of Moses in marrying Miriam because of her color, but then also they begin to question his leadership because of that. And so gossip continues to spread and continues to denigrate the person and the character and their calling. Again, God overhears it. And so they said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They're moving this further along the line. Has he only spoken through us too? But the Lord heard him. This is one of those great stories where you get to see God's sense of humor. So Miriam was stricken with leprosy. And as the scripture tells us, her leprosy struck her in such a way that made her lily white. And she was cast outside of the village for 7 days. So if you're going to make fun of the color of Moses' Cushite woman who happens to have some darkness to her, I'm going to make you lily white for you to understand that I don't judge the book by the cover, but I judge the heart of the person. God's sense of humor for us, and we continue to remind that. God doesn't judge by color. He judges by character. Continues for us. And then another one from David and his friends. David's, as you know, the king of Israel, and it's tough being a leader. I can't imagine being a president or a leader of that capacity and all the things that people say. It's fun enough being a pastor and the things that people say about us. And it's always lovely things, like you only work on Sunday. Isn't that right, Brent? Isn't that what you told me the other day? Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thanks. But here's David struggling with this, and he's in this question where he's just like being beat down, and he says this, my enemies say nothing but evil about me. How soon will he die and be forgotten, they ask. They visit me as if they were my friends, but all the while they gossip. When they leave, they spread it everywhere. So this is David's close friends. These are the people that he's doing life with, the very people that you think that you should be standing back to back to do life together, to fight the fights of life. They're actually sneaking up and they're stabbing him in the back instead of fighting with him. All who hate me whisper about me, imagining the worst. And he has some fatal disease, they say. He will never get out of the bed, they say. Even my best friend, the one who I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me. Listen, this is relationships 101. Is sometimes there's going to be people that you love and that you care about and you invest in and you share your food, you share your life, and for some reason, for some who knows why, Instead of standing back to back with you and fighting with you, they turn and stab you in the back. And the ones that are the closest, it hurts the most because it's unsuspected. You didn't know. You didn't think that that would be the one. The emotional toll of gossip upon us, the spiritual toll of gossip upon us can be deep, hurtful, and lasting. Some of those scars that you have and that I have from people that we've loved and cared about, all of a sudden, in the moment of that you're trusting them, all of a sudden, boom, here they go, and they stab you, and they stab you deep, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was coming. And the length of time that it takes for us to recover from that scar, recover from that hurt, then we become people, instead of receiving people and trusting people, what do? We do this. And so it's hard to see as we're supposed to be a community of people that are truth tellers. We're supposed to be a community of people that are welcoming. We're supposed to be a community of people that are loving. And whenever we begin to backbite, we begin to gossip, we begin to tell stories about people, we go from being a community that's hugging and loving on one another to keep your distance. Because I've been hurt too many times. And some of you are there. Right? Some of you are there right now. Some of you are walking and you're like, hey, I really need to draw people in. And there are people that are trying to draw me in, but here's what I'm doing. This is the way that I walk. This is why one of the things I love about Crosspoint is that we have coffee. Do you know one of the reasons that we have coffee? It's because I'm an introvert and I don't like to hug. You can't hug very well with a cup of coffee. Right? Because you're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I got a cup of coffee. That's about as close as you're going to get into my social space. I joke about the whole thing. I mean, I love to hug people now, but when I first got married, my mother-in-law would come up and hug me and kiss me, and I'm like, woman, back away. There's just not something we did. We said, I love you in my home, but we did not hug and kiss and all that kind of stuff. It's like, hey, what's up? Peace out. You know, you're going. And then this family, they're like hugging and kissing. You're like, what do you want from me? But over time, I understand that more and more of us, we need people to hug on us and put our arm around us and say, hey, I love you. I care about you. You can come close to me. But some of us, we're living our life like this. And listen, there's been seasons of my life where I'm like this, like, don't. If you begin to break the elbow, I'm going to shove back really hard. The emotional and spiritual toll that our friends can have against us is deep. And then Paul talks about the church specifically in Corinthians. And in Corinthians, it's a church that's got divisions and all the different stuff. And so if you remember from the book in Corinthians, even Paul used the illustration of the church is like a body. Jesus is the head and the mind, but we are the parts of the body. So someone's going to be the hand, someone's going to be the foot, someone's going to be the eye, someone's going to be the buttocks, I don't know. You're going to be all these different parts. And why did Paul use that illustration? The reason that Paul used that illustration is because if you go to the city of Corinth, they are known for making body parts. They are known for making statues. They are known for making prosthetics. And so if you go today into the city of Corinth, the ancient city, they have slews of body parts and statues and all this different stuff. And so Paul is using language of this city. He's like, listen, y'all understand what it means to make a body, a complete body. Y'all understand the unison and the work that it takes for a craftsman to do that. God is the craftsman of this church, this body, and all of the different parts of the body matter. If you don't have a foot, it's going to be a problem. If you don't have an arm, it's going to be a problem. If you don't have an eye, it's going to be a problem. All of us together as one body have to work in unison to move toward Christ. And that's the beautiful thing about the early church is the early church was moving in one direction. And so people are like, there's something about that's different about this community than all the other communities that we've ever seen. They love each other. They care for each other. They're doing things. They're giving up of themselves for each other. And they're moving in the same direction. Paul is worried about gossip within the church because he understands that it creates disunity. And so that's the very reason that we have a First Baptist, a Second Baptist, a Third Baptist, a Calvary Baptist, a Trinity Baptist, and all these different things. Along the way, through division, they think they're going to get more spiritual. But all the time, whenever you ask them, like, how did this church start? They're like, color of the carpet, not Jesus. And why? Because of disunity. Disunity. Paul says, I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. When I get to Corinth, you won't like my response either. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling and jealousy and anger and selfishness and slander and gossip and arrogance and disorderly behavior. Paul's like, that should not be the behavior in the church, but I'm hearing reports that that's what this church community is like. So what should a church community look like? In Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul's getting ready to close out Ephesians, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, hey, listen, because you're now in Christ, like in Colossians last week, don't use foul or abusive language. In other words, don't use language that will tear people down and tear people down, not only hurt yourself, but harm others as well. Therefore, then, let everything you say be good and hateful, helpful. And so anytime that you see that word good, the root of that good is God. You can't have good without God. So let everything that you say be God inspiring, God speak, and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That word encouragement literally means to put courage into. So here Paul is saying, as people of truth, people of love, people of unity, people who say that we worship God, our speech should not be hurting, should not be harmful, should not be tearing down. Our speech should be God-like and helpful and build people up instead of tearing them down. But what that means is that you and I, to be able to be people that put courage into, that means we have to be content with who we are and who God has made us to be. And that if God has made you a hand, that you're not tearing down someone who's a foot, and you think that a foot is worse than a hand, or you think that I'm smarter, or I've come from a different place, that we find our identity, our value, and our worth in Christ and in Christ alone, not in all the other things that the world says gives us purpose and meaning. And if we can find our identity in Christ, then we don't have to tear other people down. We find the things in them that we can build them up and put courage into them. Because the world is hard enough. And for them, someone to come to church and to be constantly torn down. There's a story about a man who had a very negative attitude and would constantly be talking about people. And there was a man in that same town that was very well known, very well respected, thought highly of. Well, this man who had a bad attitude and spoke about people, began speaking about this good guy. Well, one day he felt bad about it. And so he went to the really nice guy, the wise guy, and he said, hey, I need to apologize to you and ask for forgiveness for the things that I've been saying about you. He said, okay, I appreciate that. That's nice for you to be able to do that. And he says, will you forgive me? And he says, well, on one condition. I want you to take a pillow that's full of feathers and I want you to split it open in the midst of a windstorm. He's like, okay, very cool. That sounds like a weird thing. That seems kind of interesting for you to ask me to do. And he's like, cool, go do it. So he goes and does it. And then he comes back to the guy, expecting that he's going to get been forgiven. And the guy says, hey, did you do the pillow like I asked? He says, yes. The feathers went everywhere, yes. And he said, well, listen, I will forgive you if you'll pick up every single one of those feathers. And he's like, that's impossible. And the wise man said, precisely. The words that you have spoken are like those feathers. The very moment they come out of your mouth, they enter into the marketplace and they can never be called back. And the damage that has been done can never be undone. So for you and I, may we be wise people with our words and with our speech. May we consider every word that we're spoken like a feather that can be caught in the wind. And once it's gone. And the damage that it can do is irreparable. Our prayer is that as people of the truth, that we speak words of truth, and that maybe we speak less if we can't say the truth in love. If you can't encourage someone, then maybe we stop. Maybe we connect our brains to our fingers and we don't put things on Facebook that aren't encouraging to other people. If you can't say it to someone to their face, then don't say it. If you don't have enough courage to say it to their face, then don't say it. Let's be people that practice not saying anything about anyone that you would not say in front of them. Imagine your home. Imagine your workplace. Imagine your school. Imagine our community. If we were people that just shushed our mouths and didn't say things about other people that we could not say in front of them, it would be a much better place than what we have today. Because the words that we speak are destructive and harmful. They're equal to murder. So maybe we should shh a little bit more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a truth teller and that you're not a gossiper. That, Father, everything that comes out of your mouth is true and encouraging. Even if it's hard for us to hear at times, it's encouraging. It shapes us and molds us. That you tell us the truth and love. Father, I pray that we would be known as individuals, that we would be known as a community that speaks the truth in love and does not gossip, and that we withhold things because we don't want to defame or hurt or murder someone else's character, even though it may not be convenient in the moment. Father, I pray for our hearts and I pray for our mouths and our minds. May they be washed in the blood of Christ. May they be redeemed. Now in Christ, the old ways are gone, but now we are in you. Our speech is different. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.